It's the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air, brought to you by Dr. Randy Walker, Simple Simons, Ayers Cleaners, and Leopard Care Clinic, your weekly local sports podcast. And now, here's your hosts, Greg Revels and Tony Stowers.
And we're back with episode 33 of the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air. We got a little bit of baseball, a little bit of softball, but mostly spring break, Tony.
A lot of spring break.
Yeah, kind of slowed down this last week. You know, we're going to talk about a lot of different things. We got some NCAA basketball going on. We're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk about some of the free agent signings in the NFL.
Here we go, Steelers. Here we go.
Yeah.
How about them Cowboys?
Okay.
All in, baby. They're all in.
I don't know what they're all in for, but hey. Anyway, before we get to that, we've got some things to do. We want to talk about the Leopards and Lady Leopards last week, spring break for them. One game, though, Tony.
Yeah, Leopards played Saturday versus Mansfield, came away with an 11-6 win. I don't know much about the Mansfield baseball team. I know they got some fantastic athletes because they've been going, you know, deep in other sports. So it's a good win for the Leopards. Got behind the eight ball. Actually got behind 6-0. Brought Connor Shelton into the game, and he just shuts Mansfield down 5 2/3, shutout baseball, and gets the Leopards back in the game. They chip away, take the lead, and win 11-6.
Yeah, great game for Connor from everything we hear. Just did an excellent job.
We were not there.
And so, I actually didn't even know they were playing.
I think
it kind of came up as a last-minute thing, right, Tony?
Well, it was –
making up the game?
Scheduled. We'll say that.
Okay, yeah. Gotcha.
And so, but anyway, great win for the Leopards. A good job by Connor Shelton. And I'm just going to throw this out now. Connor Shelton's going to be our Shelter Insurance Woods Agency Leopard Player of the Week.
You go 5 2/3 of shutout baseball, you probably deserve to be the Leopard Player of the Week.
He's doing good. No games for the Lady Leopards this week, but this past week. But this week they're going to play at Camden Fairview, tentatively, weather permitting. And then Friday, they're going to be at Ashdown. So two big games for them this week, for the Lady Leopards, especially because, looking at where they place, we've talked about this some, third, fourth. I mean, you're looking at Ashdown, especially, as one of the games that's going to determine that. And you've got to beat Camden if you want to be there.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got Malvern, Nashville, or Nashville, Malvern, however you want to put them, and then 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, it's all going to be really bunched in. You've got to win those games against those teams you're competing for those last two spots with. You've got to at least split and maybe go, 4-2 or something like that in those games.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you got to win the games you're supposed to win.
That's right. Yep. That's true.
Yep. So anyway, going to be a big week of baseball and softball for the Leopards, and that pretty much closes it down for them. Once again, just want to mention Connor Shelton and congratulate him for being the Shelter Insurance Woods Agency Leopard Player of the Week.
Congratulations, Connor. Very, very cool. Well, I know we got Panthers up next, so let's take a brief moment to talk about Ashdown Veterinary Clinic, of course, at 139 Southern Drive here in Ashdown. Well, they're in Ashdown. We're not in Ashdown. We're in DeQueen, but DeQueen has DeQueen Animal Hospital.
That's true.
Which is also very nice. The number for Ashdown Veterinary Clinic, 870-898-5181, located at 139 Southern Drive in Ashdown. Of course, the amount of Google reviews of a positive nature is absolutely insane. They have a 5-star rating across the board for a reason. Definitely utilize them for all of your pet needs. And don't forget about DeQueen Animal Hospital, 870-642-8387, 1690 Highway 70 West here in DeQueen. That's correct. Again, 5 stars across the rating, 200 Google reviews almost, and all of the staff take great care of all the pets that go through. And especially when you go out of town, man, make sure to utilize their room and board. That's what we'll call it, boarding of your animals.
They take care of them just like they were their own.
Absolutely. Absolutely awesome place to take your pets. The only reason I didn't get 6 stars, I wish I could have given 6 stars, it says, and all that. So all the reviews from the web, definitely all in good shape. And it makes sense. thanks to DeQueen Animal Hospital and Ashdown Veterinary Clinic for sponsoring this podcast since the very beginning.
Yeah, we appreciate them so much.
Absolutely. That's right.
They're great people, and they do a great job of taking care of your animals, no matter how big or how small.
Big time. Well, we have a Mr. Jim Cross on the line.
Hey, Jim, good to see you again. Let's talk about Panther sports of the last week, if there was any. I know it's spring break, so probably a little bit shorter.
Yeah, the girls did not play this week, but the boys went to Joe T. Robinson and played in a tournament against some really skilled competition. They went 1-2. They lost to Hot Springs Lakeside and lost to Batesville, but beat Joe T. Robinson in the final game 11-3. So they felt pretty good about it. In the Batesville game, they got the honor of facing University of Arkansas commit Mark Brissy, and he was sitting at 92, 93 most of the day. So,
that's fast.
And so, you know, that's what you're looking for, though, because if you make it a state playoffs and you have to play Lone Oak, which you will eventually, that's what they have. And so that's a good preparation for them. We lost 4-1, but at least you got a little taste of what that looks like. And so Coach Martindale was pleased with the effort to come back and especially win it against a good Joe T. Robinson team, who I believe had only lost two games all season. So they played some really good competition. And that just makes you better.
Sounds like despite the 1-2, it was a pretty good weekend for Ashdown.
Yeah, the pitching was good. You know, that's kind of been our strength, really. I did a little numbers game here that in five games we've given up 19 runs, and you know usually that should get you five victories. But unfortunately, we're not scoring many runs either.
Right.
And but the pitching with Walt Jones, Grayson Porter, Kyler Jones, Cutter Dollar Hyde and Gunnar Altenbaumer this weekend was just fabulous. And we were able to finally kind of get the bats rolling against Joe T. So hopefully, you know, that'll come into play against Malvern and DeQueen, which, you know, two big conference games this week.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was going to tell you, Jim. I'm sure that if they hadn't gotten it rolling, they will when y'all play DeQueen, because that's DeQueen's luck there. So, looking forward to this week, a lot of baseball going on, a lot of softball going on. Getting some rain this week too. So we'll see what happens, but hopefully all the games will get to be played.
Yeah, I hope so. I'm doing the softball game tomorrow against Malvern, and that's kind of turned into a friendly rivalry. So I think there's been a little chit-chatting going on because everybody knows everybody, and I know our girls are really excited to play them because all the preseason polls. All the preseason polls have Malvern ahead of us, and so I think some of our girls kind of took that to heart. And but I think the key is going to be, fellas, is that whatever happens there, you got to have that same intensity against the Queen, because you know they're equally as good, and you certainly don't want to go on this week 0-2. And so this is a huge week for the softball team, and I think this will kind of show us where we stand.
Yeah, yeah. And Leopards facing or Lady Leopards facing a similar. They can't go 0-2 this week.
No.
Yeah. So no. So it. That's a. Looking forward to Friday. I'm sad that we're not going to get to see you.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Yeah, it's Good Friday thing. So I guess I guess I better do that.
Yeah, you probably need to.
Yeah. The old job getting in the way of the pleasure.
Yeah.
Well, Jim, who are you going to go with for your Horatio State Bank Panther Player of the Week?
Well, I'm going to go with Walt Jones. He's the shortstop, the Arkansas Razorback commit. He pitched really well this week, and he's kind of our catalyst. And he's as good defensively. It's kind of funny. He's our best pitcher, but I'm not sure that our best team is when he's not pitching, because he can play shortstop and he's so good at it. And when you watch him play, you can see why he's a Division I player.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're solid up the middle, man, you've knocked down a lot of the dominoes you need to win.
Yes, you can.
Yeah.
And he really hadn't started hitting. I mean, he's hitting pretty good, but he's not hitting quite yet where you think he might. And so we're hoping he can get on a roll pretty soon. But defensively, boy, he has been a vacuum cleaner at shortstop.
Wow.
That's great, and congratulations to Walt for being the Horatio State Bank Panther Player of the Week. Jim, nice. Before we let you go, anything else you got?
Well, we're still waiting on a football coach. I'm hoping that I've heard a few names, but nothing concrete. I know the committee's working hard on it, and of course I'm supporting that and encouraging them. And like I tell them, I'm going to be behind whoever we get. So I'm looking forward to seeing who that is, so that we need to get somebody in here to get the off-season program going. That's the difficulty with the way it runs now when coaches leave. You know, I get it how it all works, but it kind of puts you behind the eight ball a little bit as far as the
timing was not ideal. Mm.
No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't.
Well, because if you're going to install a new offense, you got to do it now and get that spring practice in, all those things,
yes, you do. Uh-huh.
And everything. So,
time melting away. It feels like.
I'm sure that they'll come up with somebody soon.
Yeah, I hope so. I'm sure they will. I know they're working on it, and we've had some good candidates come through, from what I understand. So we'll hopefully we'll find out sooner than later.
Well, just so you know that we did get on to the Congressman Bruce Westerman when we talked to him Friday about stealing away Coach Richardson from the Panthers and him going back up to Fountain Lake. So,
good. I'm glad you stood up for us, guys.
Yeah. We told him we need everything down here we can get, but
that's the truth, isn't it?
Yeah, but anyway, I know Coach Richardson's going back home or home area, and I know that he's glad to get to do that, and more power to him. When you can do that, that's what you need to do.
That's right.
We had a short visit on Friday, and he's excited, and I'm happy for him. I'm going to miss him, but he'll do great, and happy for his family. And be honest, fellas, when you come to our schools, if somebody stays 12 years, that's a pretty good stay.
That's true.
You're right. You're right. It is. Well, Jim, we appreciate you so much. Look forward to talking to you next week about the happenings of this week. And hope the Panthers do well till they get to Friday night. I'm sorry.
Till they get to Friday night. I knew that was coming. I knew that was coming. I would be disappointed if y'all didn't say that.
Yeah. Well, we have our allegiances.
We gotta be homers. You know that. So.
Oh, I'm the ultimate homer. So I understand.
Yeah.
Hey, appreciate the good work you guys do.
Well, you have a good day, and thank you for all your help.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. A big thanks to Jim Cross for calling in and giving us an update on the Panthers. Sad we're not going to be able to hear him Friday night, but it's for a good reason. And now we actually have some community members to talk about the eclipse that's coming right around the corner.
All right. We're back to talk about the eclipse one more time with Matt Webb, Suzanne Babb, and Angie Walker. They've got all kinds of excellent information for
good
us.
Good morning. We got extra tips.
All right. Tips. We need the tips.
Again, I'm just going to remind folks, go ahead and get your medications filled early, do your appointments early. You know, this is going to be a week that's kind of really congested. So, if you're calling our office, we may be short-staffed that day. Other people may be short-staffed that day because it's going to be hard to travel and get into work. And so just understand everybody's kind of doing that to the best of their ability. We'll have some first aid stations as well as Cassie and Jessica having some first aid stations set up around the county. And so that way, if you can't get all the way in, you may be able to get into the first aid station and us be able to help you with some different things. But those will be limited. And so that's going to be my tip is, just kind of sit back. It's here. We're going to be fine. It's going to be one of those things that, we're going to make it through it. It's going to be okay. But, let's just get everything done early that we can do.
I just wanted to remind everybody to be just mindful of the possibility of a delayed emergency response from our first responders and Sheriff's Department Ambulance Service because of the high traffic volume we'll have that week. And also be patient with the 911 dispatchers if you do have to call. If it's something that, you can maybe call on the landline, it's not really an emergency, I'd probably utilize that. And just be mindful that the 911 dispatcher is going to be taking in a lot more calls than what they normally would. And also the possibility of trespassing. There's going to be a lot of visitors in our community that are not familiar with this area, and there could be some incidental trespassing. And just be patient with those folks and try to defuse the situation as best you can. that'd probably help out a lot.
I like that term, incidental trespassing. Incidental. Yeah. I didn't mean to.
And on that note, you know, these are people that are coming in for. For some of us, it's going to be a once-in-a-lifetime experience. We will never... It's been 100 years since we've had an eclipse in our area, the total eclipse like this.
I'm saying
it's going to be quite a while in the future before we have another event on this scale in Sevier County. So if you would just be mindful of the fact that we are going to have so many visitors here, you're going to see a buildup of traffic that progresses through the week. And on the weekend and the day of the eclipse, it will be congested. We are going to have people everywhere. But just remember, these people are coming here as tourists, as someone, people that are experienced. They want to have an experience or an adventure. So keep that in mind whenever you feel your patience wearing thin with the traffic or folks getting onto your property. They're here. They're not here to cause trouble. They're here as tourists, and they bring those tourism dollars with them, and we want them to have a great experience so they find out just how awesome it is in our corner of the world down here, and we want them to come back.
All right. Well, I appreciate all y'all's information the last 3 weeks, and we're ready for the eclipse now. Right?
Yes, I'm ready.
As we can be. Yes, sir.
Wear your glasses. Don't stare at it.
Don't burn your wear your glasses.
Yeah. All right. I appreciate all y'all coming up and putting this information out, and we're can't wait for the eclipse and for it to be over.
April the 9th.
Yep. April the 9th. It's going to be a great experience. It's going to be a unique experience, and it's going to be a frustrating experience, I think, all wrapped into one. So we're going to have a good time, chill out. Very hard for me to do.
Get your glasses.
Yeah, just chill out. Get your glasses. Get you a chair that leans back and just sit out there in the sun, enjoy the sun, and watch the eclipse.
As it goes, and for 4 minutes.
That's right, and 17 seconds in between.
18 seconds.
You got to go to Gillum to get that extra second.
There'll be folks there.
Yeah, I know. All right, we appreciate y'all so much. Thank you.
Thank you.
And a big thanks to Matt Webb, Suzanne Babb, and Angie Walker for coming in to inform us on everything going on, all things eclipse.
And thank you to the Walker Enterprises for sponsoring the show each week.
That's right.
You know, they are our title sponsor. She gave up her spots for the eclipse promotion, and we appreciate her doing
that. Yes, very, very nice of her to do that. And let's not wait any longer. Let's bring on someone who was missing from last week's episode, and I heard all about it. King Tut. Let's get to him. Jeff Tuttle in studio.
Okay, we're going to talk about Outlaws Sports and what happened last week with them. We got Jeff Tuttle in studio with us, as we normally do. We appreciate him coming in. And Jeff, what do you got for us?
It's going to be pretty quick, talking about last week.
That's great.
No action.
Okay.
Nobody played softball, no baseball, no track and field.
Did they just shut down the town?
It was spring break around Derek's last week.
Yeah. Everybody shut down, huh?
Yeah.
Hey, that's okay. So what do you got for us this week then?
Well, they have a pretty busy schedule going this week. You know, the junior high track on Tuesday will kick things off going to Prescott. I'm double checking here. Nope. I'm wrong. The junior high track is going to go to Genoa for the junior dragon relays on Tuesday. Senior high track goes to Prescott on Thursday for the Prescott merchant relays. And then for softball and baseball, the softball kicks things off Wednesday. They travel to Gurdon. Now, I'm just going by the schedules I have. Mm-hmm. And as everybody knows, weather affects everything this time of year. So you can tune into the Outlaw Radio page, and everybody will try to keep you updated if things change. But softball goes to Gurdon Wednesday. Baseball team goes to Mount Ida on Thursday. And then on Friday, softball and baseball both host Horatio at home. So
a big week, lots of action going on. You broadcasting any of those games?
Not going to broadcast any this week, and unless they throw one at me late because there wasn't any on the schedule. But we've missed a few that we were supposed to, so So okay.
So that's outlaw sports, right?
We will remind everybody, and we may get into it later if y'all want to, but the Derrick's Outlaw Athletic Booster Club.
There you go.
Has a golf tournament taking place on Saturday. 3-person scramble, and as of right now, we have 2 spots available. I mean, we're limited to 36 teams, and there's 34 signed up right now. So get a hold of somebody on the flyer and let them know if you want in. It's going to be a big time on Saturday at the Glenwood Country Club.
Sounds like a great time. Tony and I are going to be there because somebody's got to come in last. So we're good at doing that.
Flighted?
Yeah.
We won a golf tournament one day, a time that was flighted.
Yeah.
We did, much to Michael Collins' dismay.
Yeah, that's right.
There will be 3 flights, I believe, is the way we'll do it. And I had one of the people that's going to help sent me a text message yesterday, and I'm not going to say any names, but she's told me several times I know nothing about golf. And she wanted to know at our booster club meeting, which we're having, you know, to kind of finalize everything. She said, is that when we'll decide who's in what flat? And I said, well, that might not be fair to everybody if we flat it before the tournament. So, well, I said, we'll wait till after they turn in their scores. Great.
I will tell you when you can fly. You can go ahead and fly to us. We'll be in the last flight. Yep. But hey, it's for a good
flight that leaves at 1 a.m. Yeah, that's right. The flight we're in.
It's for a good cause, and we're looking to have a good time.
Yes.
I'm going to tell you one thing. Tony and I have already looked. The weather's going to be magnificent.
Yes. I mean, and last year, and I don't get to play golf much because of my back. You know, I'll go out there and putt around in a tournament. My partners, I'm sure they'd like to replace me with somebody better than me, but I'm so entertaining.
Yeah.
But last year, you know, everybody was bundled up when we teed off at 8:30, and by 10 o'clock, it's the best weather you can play golf in. I mean, so I guess maybe layer up and be ready for the sun to pop out.
Yep. It'll be all right. But looking forward to that. Yes, Tony.
We really want to say we appreciate Toad Thumper, even though there's not an Outlaw Player of the Week this week. And despite the Larry Bird thing, we really like Cody.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't bring up the 33. So, we'll save that for when he's in studio.
Speaking of Toad Thumper, we can give them a little more plug. They went out to Tulsa to the Bassmasters, you know, over the last few days and represented out there. So, congratulations to them.
Yep.
We appreciate them so much. So, that's Outlaw Sports for the week. And that, let's go ahead and move on to the Costot River Eagles. So, identical thing there. They did not, either team played last week. So, this week they're looking at playing at Caddo. And then Tuesday they're playing at Cedarville. And Thursday they're playing Paris at home.
Right.
So, busy week for them, too.
That's a long trip for Paris.
It is. It's a long trip for either way.
It's a long flight.
Cedarville's not very far. I know. I know. Long flight from Paris, but you're right. But we appreciate Union Bank and their sponsorship of the Costot River Eagles Player of the Week. No player there, so we're going to move on, and we're going to go to the Gators. And the Gators, they also did not play, Tony.
They did not.
It seems to be a trend.
Well, they went to the beach.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, Gators maybe not go to the beach. Maybe they go to the river.
Yeah,
but
the river. Yeah,
but the swamp. But they had the week off.
That's right.
Good for them.
Yeah, both teams this week: Tuesday at Caddo and Thursday at Center Point. So they're away both games. Horatio State Bank, great sponsor for us. They sponsor the Gator Player of the Week. We appreciate them. There's not one because they did not play. We'll look forward to getting their scores and seeing who does well for them the next week. Now we're going to move on to the Horatio Lions. And Horatio Lions, they did play.
They did.
Yeah, they had 2 games.
They had to work through some weather to get them in, but
beat up on the Mena Bearcats.
Yeah.
13-7, and then lost to Wachita 2-0 in what had to be a really good ball game if you look at the numbers from the game.
Yeah.
But they both have busy weeks this week, the Lions and the Lady Lions. Lions will be at Falk. Then they'll host Falk That's what you get this time of year.
Why don't they just play a doubleheader while they're there?
I guess you miss out on a home game if you do that. Yeah, one or the other would.
Yeah.
And then, Jeff, they travel to your neck of the woods on Friday. And it's very spirited usually between Horatio and Derrickson.
Too spirited sometimes. But yeah, I mean, that's a good baseball, softball rivalry. And, I mean, we get along with them for the most part. They get along with us. I mean, we support each other when we're not playing. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I think that's good. And then the Lady Lions Monday, they play Mansfield. And then Friday, they play the Outlaws or yeah. Lady Outlaws. So busy week for Lion Athletics.
Yeah, and Lady Lions, you know, if Mansfield, they're the other sports that they play in, they're going to be pretty good softball players too.
Mansfield's in a good cycle right now as far as athletes go.
Yeah, their basketball team, you know, went to the state finals. Their volleyball team either won state or went to the state finals.
Yeah,
and so you're looking at some good athletes there. Who's going to be our player of the week, Tony, for Horatio?
Horatio State Bank line player of the week is Trey Smith, who had 12 strikeouts versus Wichita. So last I checked, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
We talk about Trey a lot. Trey probably ought to, with the fourth microphone, we'll just bring Trey in because.
That's right.
We talk about him all the time.
Yeah.
12 strikeouts, you're dealing.
Yeah. Yeah, you're dealing.
Yep.
Yeah, because how many outs are there in a 7-inning
game? In a
2-0
game, there's going to be 21 because it'd be 7 innings.
Yeah.
So more than half.
Yeah. So that's pretty good. That's pretty good. And unless I miss something, that's high school sports for last
week.
It'll
be a lot longer next week.
I was going to say, it won't be near as quick next week.
It'll be a lot longer next week because a lot of games go through. For this week, sports, spring break week, sports kind of took a little break for the most part, a couple of games. But we will have all the games and the reactions to it and the players of the week next week for this week's games. For now, you want to talk about the Sweet 16 first? Or what would you like to talk about? We'll let you decide.
You're going to let me decide?
Yeah, but you got to do it quickly.
We can go through.
You took too long.
We'll just talk about basketball real quick in general.
Yeah, okay.
We picked our Sweet 16s. Greg and I both got 10 right. Jeff got 9. Many you and I had in common. The two we didn't have in common, surprisingly for me, I went to Tennessee and Alabama. The commissioner, Greg Stanky, had made his comments before I picked my bracket. I would not have picked Tennessee and Alabama, which is kind of an odd thing. They're really looking at Jeff's bracket. He picked Iowa State to win the whole thing, and now I kind of wish I had picked Iowa State to win the whole thing.
They look pretty good.
They do. I picked UConn.
I'm just curious. To get to your Sweet 16, you had to pick a few rounds.
Yeah.
Who do y'all think y'all's best pick or upset was in the first round?
My best kind of looking round back upset? At it.
I got to look at mine again.
Let me see. I got my bracket out here.
That's what I'm doing, looking over mine. James Madison, I can't consider them an upset because I had them in the Sweet 16.
Well,
they lost in the second round.
They are the lowest seed that I had winning in the first round was James Madison. And we all sat there and called that.
Yeah.
Greg called it, said Wisconsin is done. Head home. Don't even make the trip.
I had a couple that I picked in the first round that I thought were nice picks on my part. Michigan State over Mississippi State.
Yeah.
And then, I didn't fill mine out until – I didn't get it printed off until after the
play-in. So you did pick
game,
JMU.
The play-in games.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I had Colorado over Florida. Because, I mean, that's something I ain't never understood. I'd like to – I wasn't here last week. I want y'all's opinion on why – they were a 10 seed.
Yeah.
Why the play-in games – why are they a 16 and a 16?
Aren't they theoretically, though, the last four in – the last ones that are in the tournament at large, and you can be one of the last ones in the tournament at large and be ranked ahead of automatic qualifiers, but I think that's what
that's
about.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, because Colorado didn't play like your
no
play-in team.
No. Which, and speaking of automatic qualifiers, Greg Stanky came out Am I saying his name right?
I think it's Sankey.
Sankey?
But you,
Sankey sounds like a coffee.
But Stanky sounds like something that when Jeff comes in. He's kind of stanky.
Sankey is his name. Stanky is how everybody's referring to him.
That's right. That's right.
Well, but you know, I guess right before or right after the teams are released, he makes a comment about taking away the automatic qualifier bids from these small conferences, and then the small conferences go out and beat the SEC's brains out. In the, I mean, the quote was a flop, and the only way you can, I mean, the only reason that you would say something like that is pure greed, in my opinion.
Well, I'm gonna tell you what I think. I think what he's doing is, and somebody's got to, and I don't know, I can't think of the right word, put this out for public consumption on the front end. What he's doing is moving, he's going to move away from the NCAA. The SEC is, the Big Ten is.
You think in basketball as well?
I think it's going to go everything.
Wow.
That's what I think when they go separate, they're going to be separate. And all
well,
of
and if that's the motivation, I understand that more than, you know, we are already dominating. And you've got a little crack in the door, and we're going to take away your crack in the door.
Yeah.
And as a guy who roots for a mid-major, I mean, I don't like it at all. Well, I believe that the only reason they're given the G5 one seat in this new college football playoff is to keep the G5 schools from suing them for collusion.
Yeah.
So, and this sounds like collusion to me.
Well, and I think what they're doing is they're moving away, and I think they'll be two tournaments. There'll be an NCAA tournament that will not include those teams,
SEC,
and they'll have their own teams. Well, yeah.
There'll be two national champions.
Well, and I don't know who's going to be in the SEC at that point either.
Right, right.
You know, it's going to be a different deal. It's going to be almost like pro football like, and they may just do it for football. But I think I still think that's what.
Well, it was an ill-advised, poorly timed quote.
Well, it didn't work out well when your conference got their pants pulled down by the
Oakland Golden Grizzlies.
That's right.
Who I didn't even know their nickname until Jeff texted me.
Well, yeah. Greg touched on something. I mean, Tony touched on something right there that I kind of wanted to mention. First off, I'll just say, if he's just wanting, you know, and y'all kind of clarified what you think his statement was, but if he's just saying, hey, the SEC should have another team or two in there, I mean, they had nine, didn't they?
Eight. But
okay.
I mean, who would you put in there that wasn't in there?
I mean, Arkansas could have done as well as Kentucky.
No.
I mean, we could have got beat the first round.
So could Marshall.
What I was going to say, though, you're talking about the mid-majors. We often talk about early bowl games during football season.
Yeah.
I put the first two rounds of the NCAA tournament right there with it. I mean, you get those schools that people aren't. I mean, that's great, great theater.
Yeah.
I mean, some of the games that take place, take the Oakland A's, I mean, Grizzlies, you know, in Kentucky. I even posted on Facebook after that. I said the only people with perfect bracket right now are Oakland fans because nobody saw that coming.
No.
Especially Calipari.
I know. I loved it. Watching him walk off. But you know, the thing about it is, I mean, you don't think I was pulling for Yale against Auburn?
Yeah.
I mean, here's the deal with me.
NCAA tournament,
sure.
And now you're gonna yank those teams. Would Yale have made the tournament had they had to been one of the best 72 teams in the country by some computer or a bunch of guys in a room like football does? No. And neither would Oakland.
No.
And neither would JMU. Probably, maybe JMU.
Yeah. But, the thing about it is, and when you look at Calipari and Bruce Pearl, probably two of the biggest cheaters ever in college basketball.
Agreed.
And so
Sankey or Stanky or whatever it is, clean up your own conference before you start picking on those little guys.
I'm not for them. But anyway, back to the Sweet 16. You know, when you look at who – and I don't even have my bracket with me, so I've got it. You've got the picks that I made, but I don't know where they fit in the bracket and who they're playing.
Right.
So I can't really tell you, but I mean, I think we're pretty we're close on everything except for I picked Texas and I picked so
you picked Texas and St. Mary's,
okay,
and I picked UNC and Alabama and Tennessee.
So the Elite Eight and the Final Four, If mine plays out, I could make a dramatic comeback here.
Oh, absolutely, because one of my Final Fours done. I picked Baylor to the Final Four just to aggravate Greg. And
it does.
That did not work out for me.
Yeah.
And your Final Four is all still alive, looking at your bracket here. Iowa State, Bama, Gonzo, and Marquette.
Well, I don't even – mine's at the office. So I'll have to.
It's very handy.
Well, yeah. Hey, the only thing you told me to do was pick the fine.
Our scorecard for this weekend's out in my glove box too.
Hey, I'll take care of the scorecard. Okay. You're not going to get to touch the scorecard. You get in the other card. I'll make sure that scorecard.
The long hitters will be ride nice. In one car, and you ride in the other.
There will be a nice meal provided. Will Tony have two shirts?
Yeah.
Tony, you can bet on it. Whatever you got to bet that Tony has two shirts. I got another shirt in the car right now in case I feel coffee on myself during this podcast.
I got a question for you about that. I'm sorry to ask you about this right in the middle, but so is there senior tees on this?
Yes.
Are the forward tees.
Bring your birth certificate and I'm done.
What? So you know how old
I am.
Don't
bring the
right?
one that your finger and your feet prints are on, because that's not legit. One of the guys, we went on a church trip, baseball trip, into Canada, into Toronto. I got to tell Tyler about this trip one day. And he tried to get into Canada with his hospital certificate, not his birth certificate. It was a nightmare.
Well, you don't have to worry about that now. You better have a passport.
Yeah,
you're not
better.
Going anywhere.
You will be able to hit from the senior tees.
All right.
Last year.
Long drive.
Last year.
You're looking at the long drive champion.
Hole in one.
You might
prize.
As well just hand it to him now.
Everybody had to hit from the same tee.
You got the prize in the
yeah. prize, but they're not.
No hole in one.
No hole in one this year. So, okay. I mean, you can still make one.
Yeah, but you're not getting a new
what,
car.
What are you going to be, 60?
Yes.
Okay.
Something else.
We need to talk. We need to talk.
Senior tour.
Next year, I'll be able to hit from the senior tees.
Senior tour is at 50. I want to know why it's 60 for regular folks. I mean,
I don't know.
Well, I don't know. Maybe we could get a rule change before Saturday.
Yeah. But
I might know somebody.
But anyway, we kind of talked about the Sweet 16. So out of those 16 teams left, you think Iowa State's got the best shot? I mean, well, which one? Who are you looking at?
I did when I filled my bracket out. Now, they struggled against, was it Washington State the other day?
Yeah, but every team's going to struggle at least one time.
No, you're not going
to get there. If you look at these other teams, I mean, like Tennessee was playing Texas, they were up on them 25, and they barely won.
I thought, watching the ball games in round two, I was really impressed with the Zags. I mean, they played really good ball. Somebody else yesterday. Oh, Purdue. I mean, and I've thought all
one of those
Purdue
teams,
was overrated.
I'm telling you, I mean, they're like a chicken. They got an egg in them somewhere, and
maybe it was they're game
gonna,
one against
Purdue
the
is going to lay an egg. Just count on it.
It may have been game one against the Hogs earlier in the year, though.
So when I look at the teams that I've got left, of course, my sentimental favorite is Gonzaga. I mean,
I wore your hat today.
Yeah, well, I should have. You're right.
Messed up your hair.
But I'm going to tell you, I think that there's Iowa State looked really good in the finals of the Big Eight conference tournament. They just wore Houston out.
Yeah.
Big Eight, is that right?
It is the Big 12.
Big 12, Big Eight.
Everybody knows what you're talking about.
Yeah. And then I think the winner of the Houston Marquette game is going to be tough to beat.
And Texas A&M, they may have taken a lot out of Houston last night.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. That's
a good ball game.
Yeah, it really was.
As a matter of fact, I got ready and started getting ready to go to bed and got a notification on my phone that it was in overtime.
Yeah.
So I said, well, I better check.
I stayed up and watched it too and regretted it this morning.
Yeah.
But.
Well, to me, UConn.
UConn.
UConn and Iowa State, you know, in the same.
Is that who I have beaten them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're in the same. They're coming out of the same region. So one of us is going to be wrong, and we're going to know pretty soon.
Well, and the thing about that is, I mean, UConn's basically playing at home. I think they can walk to where they're playing. it's a 45-minute bus ride. It's in Boston.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's pretty close.
You know, they don't have to get on a plane to the Final Four.
Yeah.
So, which is a big, big advantage.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts on Sweet 16? Are you about done with that? You want to move on to the what's going on in the NFL?
Oh, yes. This was actually on our agenda last week, and we didn't get to it.
Right. you know, I think, you know, we're looking at two different things. Of course, you know, everybody knows Steelers are Tony's favorite team. Cowboys are my favorite team. Packers are Jeff's favorite team. And I don't really know much about what the Packers have been doing, mainly because nobody cares.
The only thing I've seen this week, and I'll throw it in there real quick, and then y'all can move on to these boring teams. Jordan Love said they were ready to win a Super Bowl this year. Somebody needs to tell him they'll probably play it next year. But, I mean, I knew what he meant.
Yeah, and Kenny Pickett's ready to lead the Eagles to the
yeah,
promised land.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you know, the thing about it is, I talked to Tony about this.
We talk about this a lot.
Earlier. But, yeah, but, you know, I'm the Steelers, like Tony said here on our prep sheet, the Steelers go nuts. Now, you know, and so talking about that, you know, I'm just wondering, you know, Mike Tomlin's been there a long time. And you know, my thought is not being as closely hooked up with him as Tony is I'm wondering if he's feeling the pressure a little bit and he's making a lot of changes trying to get something that, you know, because he took a little heat even though they, you know, they ended up doing okay and getting to the playoffs. I mean, he was taking some heat last year, right, Tony?
Oh, he definitely yeah. was. But, you know, and you turn that around, you look at Mike Trubisky, Kenny Pickett, Mason Rudolph, and you go 10-7 with those guys.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
So, but, I mean, I there's times that Tomlin frustrates me. Would I trade him for any coach right now? No. And if the Steelers did something with Tomlin, he'd be unemployed about 5 minutes.
Yeah, isn't he the longest tenured coach in the NFL?
Yeah, now that Belichick's out.
Yeah. And I think that, yeah, and I think, I'm just saying, I'm just, you know, and Tony disagrees with me, and I understand because the Pittsburgh organization has been such they've been true to their people.
Yeah, they're loyal to a fault.
Yeah, and that you know, but I think one of the big problems that Tomlin's had, and it started maybe 5 years ago, was him not getting somebody ready to take the Ben Roethlisberger's place, and so I think it's finally boiled down to, we better do something because Kenny Pickett ain't the guy.
But you had to have Big Ben in the ER for him not to play. I mean, he was going to play.
That's true. You know, but I think if there's any urgency on Tomlin's part, I think that he knows the Steelers' defense is elite, and there is a window, though. You know, these guys are on the clock, and the Steelers, even though the Steelers are not kind of a quick fix team, I think they've got to have better play at the quarterback position to go to the next level.
Yeah,
go ahead. Well, they signed Russell Wilson, yeah. And the Broncos are paying all but $1.3 million of his salary. They're paying $39 million of his salary. That's a no-brainer to me. You know, I don't understand the downside of doing that, and I don't think any other NFL team would think that there's a downside to doing that either, paying him $1.3 million to have him, whether he's the starter or not.
That's what I was going to say. Every team in NFL would have took him at $1.3 as a backup.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what you're paying him.
Yeah.
Well, I think one of the things you got to realize about that, though, Russell Wilson wouldn't win if he was going to be a backup.
Good point. I think the Steelers have made him a promise that he'll at least start as the starter.
Yeah, I think so, too. Now, where I think they made a steal is in getting Justin Fields for a sixth-round pick, because he's the future of the Steelers. Russell Wilson's not. Russell Wilson's 36 years old. If he has one good year, that's great.
They'll sign Fields long-term, and then they'll let Wilson go free agent.
Yeah.
I'm not going to sound like I'm the genius that said this, but I did see somewhere this week where somebody said Fields gets to sit behind Wilson and learn the position for a year or two if he needs to, where he hadn't had that opportunity.
That's right.
You know, he was thrown in the spotlight. You're going to be our starter at Chicago. He's still young.
Everybody pays so much attention to the quarterback position. Maybe the best thing the Steelers have done in the offseason is they signed all-pro middle linebacker Patrick Queen from the Ravens. So you're not only adding to probably what's the best linebacker core in football, Hightower, Queen, and Watt, you've taken a key piece from the Ravens defense, who you've already beat seven out of the last eight games.
Don't you know the Ravens think of him as a traitor right now?
The Ravens Steeler thing. I don't think there's a better rivalry in football right now. But I mean, and I know there's some good ones. But a little quick math: At the quarterback position with Russell Wilson and Justin Fields, the Steelers will spend $4.5 million next year. That's incredible to me. That is, I mean, it's insane.
That's crazy.
It really is. But you look at the other things they've done, I think the Steelers have gotten in way better.
They have.
Without spending a whole lot of money.
Yeah.
You know, their defense has gotten better.
Well, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you know, they're still talking about, and I can't say this, Brandon. I'm going to say it the way Arkansas would say it, Brandon, a yuck. A yuck.
Yeah, they're talking about trading for him from the 49ers. And, you know, they traded Deontay Johnson to the Panthers for Dante Jackson. It kind of sounds like the same guy, but he's a cornerback, which the Steelers desperately needed a cornerback. They signed Van Jefferson, who last played for the Falcons. Mm-hmm. And the Steelers are just, you know, Dallas said, you know, what was the quote that we're all in. The Steelers were all in.
Yeah.
They were all in.
Well, you know, and I think that I think they're doing things. I also think that you got to realize there's things that happen that, and we'll use Justin Fields for an example. I think it was a combination of the Steelers wanting him and him wanting to go to the Steelers, him thinking that's his best opportunity. He, you know, there's other places he could have went.
Oh, yeah.
He chose to go to the Steelers. And that's the thing about free agency now, the more so than it used to be, is that the players have a voice in it, more of a voice than they've had before. Russell Wilson went where he wanted to go also.
That's right.
You know, they both feel like that's a good place to go. And I think that, you know, switching over to the Cowboys now, they've actually signed one free agent, which was a middle linebacker, Eric Kendricks, and he played with the Vikings.
Well, they also had a linebacker retire, didn't they?
Yeah, Van Der Esch. Yeah. He, due to injury, great linebacker.
Yes,
for them. All heart.
Yeah. He played hard, and he's out due to injury. So they needed that linebacker. The thing that gets me is about the Cowboys is they're, you know, and they may prove me wrong. And you know from your Green Bay fandom, the kind of coach Mike McCarthy is. Why do you not get Derrick Henry?
I was just going to say, they've missed the boat on Derrick Henry. I realize he's nearing the end of his career probably. He's probably still going to give you 2 to 3
but you could have got
above
him for
average seasons. I mean,
nothing.
Yeah.
And so, you know,
has anybody done anything with
him? The Ravens signed him.
Yeah, the Ravens signed him.
Did they sign him?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sure they did. And that's going to be great for them.
Oh, yeah, he plays right into their hands.
Yeah, Lamar is buying him all kinds of gifts right now.
Yeah, well, because all he's got to do, I mean, all that does is make Lamar's running ability that much more effective.
The Ravens may throw the ball as much as the Leopards did last year.
That's right.
Because they won't have to throw the ball.
That's right. And I think one of the thing about the Cowboys is, and, you know, one of the running backs they're looking at, and I can't think the guy's name, he played at Florida, and he was at the Texans for a couple of years. He did pretty good, got about 800 yards his first year, but he didn't play much last year. And the deal is he's a little bitty running back, and we don't need one of those.
Yeah.
Nobody – I mean, it's not bad to have one that's like a Darren Sproles kind of a running back, but you don't want him as your feature back, especially in the Mike McCarthy offense.
No, it's good to have one banger and one little, you know, lightning.
You know, if you got Mike McCarthy, I mean, he wants to run the football, right?
Speaking of having one banger and – one lightning, you know, the Packers did go from thunder and lightning to thunder and thunder as they signed Jacobs from the Raiders.
He's a good back too. You
know? Yeah, he really is.
Yeah.
Hey, back to Brandon Ayuk. I wanted to mention, you know, if they're able to get him, he helps any starting quarterback, whether it's Fields
or put him on one side and Pickens on the other side.
Can either one of y'all name a starting receiver that Wilson was throwing the ball to last year at Denver?
Yeah. Judy.
That's it, though.
Judy.
That's it. And Jerry, now he's Judy's gone. About the only one you can
well,
think
he's
of.
Well, he's gone now.
But, I mean, I'm just saying, he hadn't really had the weapons that he can have.
I bet you can't Pittsburgh. Name 5 offensive Denver Broncos because they've just kind of just –
Well, they
blew it up.
They went all out on Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
They don't have it. I mean,
the Steelers tight end.
Now, Freiermuth?
Freiermuth. I mean, he's a weapon.
Yeah, he is.
Tight ends are becoming more and more valuable, though, to teams.
I agree with Greg, and, of course, you know, to the surprise of no one, I think the Steelers have got a lot better in the offseason. I think they've won the offseason
so far
compared to the other 31 teams.
Yeah. Yep, so far anyway. And so, you know, that's the thing about it is I'll reserve my final thoughts till after the draft on the Cowboys, but with a big but. They're going to have to.
That should be a song.
They're going to have a major, major draft to come back from what they let go. I mean, the deal is, I mean, there are players, and Derrick Henry's not the only one, but to use him, there are players like that you could have got for such a reduced price. That, you know, I mean, here's the deal is, Derrick Henry went and bought a house in Dallas.
Yeah.
Now, because no offense, but he doesn't want to live in Pittsburgh.
No.
You know, he wants to live in Dallas. So he's already wanting to live there. What are you doing? Why are you not at least making him an offer?
Baltimore either. I've been there.
No. Why are you making an offer? Why are you not making him an offer?
Some because uncertainty about how much cap room they've got? Because.
Well, if they can't figure that out, then they need to quit. I mean, they should know that, right? Well,
do you think they're all in on Dak Prescott? I mean, you've either got to be all in or all out.
Well, they're all in for this year, I think. I don't think they have a choice.
Yeah.
And, you know, the thing about it is they got two. Now, next year, what they got to do, they're going to have Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb in the last year of their contract. Yeah. So they're either going to have to re-sign them or get rid of them.
Yeah.
And so what are you going to do there? But, you know, we can talk about that
Tony Pollard. I mean, he's a good back. I mean, he may not be the ideal back for the Cowboys, but.
Yeah, they thought he was going to be the featured back last year, you know, and he just didn't really live up to what they expected. I mean, anybody else will take that production, but.
Well, I think he did better when he and Zeke were both there, and they were resting each other. And I think, you know, when you look at Pollard signed a 3-year $21.75 million deal, $10 million of it guaranteed with the Titans. That's probably a cap space deal.
Well, it probably is, and for what running backs are getting now, that's a great contract for him.
Oh, yeah, it is a great contract for him, and that's probably why the Cowboys didn't keep him.
Yeah.
Because they couldn't compete with that, with the cap space they had. But, you know, you look at, they lost two of their starting offensive linemen.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, they didn't need that. Defensive end, two defensive ends, two defensive tackles. You know, and they lost all those people because they can't they couldn't. I think it's all cap rooms, what I think. All those are.
Well, and at the end of the season, the Eagles really fell off the edge of the earth. But they've got a little better in the offseason as well. So you just, like I say, I think Greg's right. You got to reserve total judgment until after the draft. But
we're just coming up before long.
Yeah, man. Definitely to come out at the beginning of free agency and say we're all in, and like a firecracker that doesn't go off, that's a dud. That's kind of what it feels like to me. And I'm definitely not a Cowboys fan.
I think when you look at who they have re-signed, I mean who their running back they re-signed is.
I seen this the other day.
But you didn't know him, did you?
Who was it?
Rico Dowdle. I've never even heard of him. I'm a Cowboy fan. I've never even heard of him. You know, he's totaled 300.
Wasn't he in Napoleon Dynamite?
361 yards on 89 carries. You know, he's 26 years old. So I don't know what you're doing now. They didn't pay anything for him. They paid $1.2 million.
He's just Bo Nix who will be drafted.
But I'm telling you this, you could have gotten. You could, for not much more than that, you could have got Derrick Henry. I don't know what his contract was. We'll look that up and talk about it later.
I don't even know what made me think of this, but I want to finish off my NFL talk with one thing that can't be disputed, and you will prevail over me and Tony over this. The Steelers and the Packers, they do wear the ugliest throwback uniforms every season. Those Steelers uniforms that
the Bumblebees?
Vertically strapped, yes. And the Packers,
I can't argue with that. I don't know what somebody was thinking. You know, I wish you know, I think the Steelers, the uniforms are the ones they usually wear. They're very classic looking. What do they say? They're very
traditional looking.
Well, they're traditional looking, but they're very clean. That's what the kids say. They're very clean.
Yeah.
But when the Steelers went from the block numbers to the Kirby numbers, I can't get used to it. I still like those block numbers that the Steelers wore in the 70s.
You know how you
and when I play on Madden, I wear the 70s uniforms.
You know how you get all those ads that pop up on Facebook and stuff that really annoy you? I had one pop up the other day. It was a T-shirt company, and I thought of you because you know how you have the political ad, so-and-so-and-so-and-so, 24. It was a Lambert Ham 2024 shirt.
Yeah, well... And the Packers throwbacks, one of their throwbacks aren't even green, are they?
No, they're brown.
Brown.
Yeah.
Brown.
I mean, they're really beautiful.
Where does that come from?
They're really beautiful.
At least they were smart enough to move on from it, unlike the Cleveland Browns.
True.
But I did look up Derrick Henry's contract a little bit more than what I thought. It's 2 years, $16 million. But still, for him, that's a deal.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's made his money.
Pollard is basically making $7 million a year, and Derrick Henry's basically making $8 million.
Yeah.
And he's probably got...
I'll tell you what, if I was a Cowboys, I'd have found some way, even if I'd had to send somebody packing to make that happen.
And Henry's probably got incentives in there for so many touchdowns, 1,000-yard rush, and I mean...
I wish he hadn't went to the Ravens. I will say that.
Now he's got $9 million guaranteed. So... But anyway, anything else on the NFL? Y'all guys good with that?
Oh no, but I really enjoyed this.
Yeah, me too. We can talk about it more. We got all summer to talk about this.
We'll have the draft coming up, and we'll talk about.
Oh, that'll be great fun.
Yeah,
yeah. How bad the Cowboys do. But we got one more thing to talk about before we go today, and just want to congratulate Will Dykes and his National Park Community College champion basketball team as they won the Division II NJCAA National Junior College Championship Saturday night, 84-79. Great
accomplishment.
Big deal. Yeah, it's a great accomplishment, big deal. They beat South Suburban College, and congratulations to the Warhawks.
Well, I'm going to tell you, Will Dykes, you know, I think about – We think about these all-star teams in our mind, and Cody, we're still going to get you in here, but high school basketball players that I've seen with my own eyes, Will Dykes is on that team.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, and there's some kids that Outlaw fans would be familiar with on that team, too. The McDaniel kid from Cutter Morning Star a few years ago was on there. There's a kid from Costock River on that team.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I want to say somebody from Kirby, but I'm not positive on that.
They definitely got an Arkansas flavor.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do. And I mean, really.
And I tried to watch the last three games. And of course, ESPN tried to charge me for all of them. So I didn't watch any of them. So.
Yeah, plus?
No.
Oh, okay. Plus is worth it, man. I'm just telling you.
Yeah. Well, and the one.
Maybe not for you, since, I mean, you're an Arkansas fan, but for me, definitely worth it.
Yeah.
He has to take that shot before we go off.
Yeah. Here. Well, I just to
it's
talk.
It's not a shot. Arkansas is my third favorite team.
Just to talk about who's your second? Oh, whoever's playing West Virginia
is my second.
Yeah, I got you.
They hired a basketball coach, by the way.
They did?
They did. They hired a guy from Drake.
Speaking of that, I saw where
I thought Dane Altman might have went.
They might have been better off hiring Drake.
They think Huggins might be in the running for the Oklahoma State job.
Well, here's a little tidbit for you. Huggins, the other day, he's quoted as saying, "I love West Virginia. I really don't want to leave the Mountain State." And Marshall is trying to make a decision on what they do with their coach. So if they move on from D'Antoni, does Marshall hire Huggins? And wouldn't that be the ultimate thumb in the eye to West Virginia for Huggins to take that job?
Yeah.
And, I mean, he's going to win wherever he's at. I mean, it might take him a year to – he's got
–
Yeah. He's I don't know how I feel about it. You know, I think people – I'm all for forgiveness. I would want big time assurances that he's not going to embarrass the university like he embarrassed West Virginia. So, So, and I'm not close enough to the situation to know.
Well, that's not going to happen. He's embarrassed every university he's been at.
Yeah. Okay.
So you just got, you got okay, to hey, state. It's like it's, all right. It's like me.
Dan, your job is secure.
You take me for what I am, or don't take me. But if you think
I am what I am,
if you're going to take me thinking I'm going to change, you can ask my wife about that. That didn't happen. So.
But it would be the some of the biggest irony of all ironies, you know. We probably the most successful Marshall football coach since Bob Pruitt was Doc Holliday, who was an assistant at West Virginia University football, played for Western University football. Job came open. He wanted the job at West Virginia University. They end up giving it to Rich Rod, and Holliday, when he gets the chance to take the Marshall job, he does. And for 10 years, I mean, he had us in bowl games every year, winning 8 or 9 games. I have nothing but good things to say about Doc Holliday. So,
and I mean, local flavor for us.
Yeah.
The irony there, you know, Gus took that Arkansas State job, kind of like,
yeah,
I can do this here. You know what? Yeah. Well,
yep.
Then
yeah,
everything opened up for him elsewhere. But.
Yep. Yeah, well, you talk about Arkansas just a little bit. I mean, there's two things I want to mention before we get off the air here. One is, we're looking at transfer portal basketball players. I mean, everybody's leaving.
Girls too.
Yeah, the leading scorer for the girls. Mike Neighbors is in trouble. He may make it through this year, but if he doesn't produce next year, lost their leading scorer. She was really a great player. But, you know, that's part of the transfer portal.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if you go up to Fayetteville and they'll pay you $75,000 and somebody will pay you $100 to come somewhere else, you're going to go.
Well, I mean,
if you can play like she can.
I got a buddy that said Neighbors isn't going anywhere because he's the lowest paid coach on the hill. So,
well, and he may not. But I think that I like the guy. I think they ever since I started following Lady Razorback basketball, though, they have not had the athletes to compete in the SEC. They'll look good. They'll win. They won't lose but one or two games maybe, and they'll get down there, and then they start playing LSU and South Carolina and Georgia and all those teams, and they just get rocked. And I mean, a lot of other teams will too.
I got a little tidbit on that real quick just to throw in there. Did y'all see where, like, LSU, some of their fans and – network was complaining because of where they'll match up with Iowa instead of like Final Four or something.
Right, it's going to be in the Elite Eight.
And, you know, they said, you know, this should be a showcase game. We should be able to. And my thinking is, what does South Carolina think about this?
Yeah.
You know, they're undefeated.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
As the kids say, they're keeping receipts.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. No, that's
they're
right.
Getting to keep a lot of them right now. They are impressive.
Nobody's talking about them. And, I mean, everybody should be talking about that.
Yeah. Musselman, also going back to him, you know, some rumors about him going to a couple of different places. One of them was Wisconsin.
I saw that.
Why? That just doesn't make sense
to me.
One
of them's SMU?
Yeah, I know.
Why would you leave Arkansas to go to SMU? And I know they're going in the ACC.
I saw a deal the other day or a month or so ago that said SMU, you know, was like one of the richest schools.
Oh, I don't doubt it. I don't doubt it. But and there'd probably be less pressure there, I would imagine. But still, I can't.
I'm going to guess that Musselman's pressure is probably self-imposed, a lot of it.
I've lived in Arkansas 14 years, and Arkansas fans are not quite as unrealistic as WU fans. But you're close.
We're a fickle fan base, but I mean, I think all good fan bases are to an extent.
Well,
I mean, did you see the Kentucky fans?
Well, yeah. And I'm mostly talking about football here. I mean, I think every Arkansas basketball coach that they moved on from was probably good to move on from. But, you know, if you win 8 games at Arkansas and go to a bowl game in football, they ought to build a statue.
I agree. We have unrealistic expectations in football. I mean,
you play in the best division in the best conference in college football, and I don't get it. I thought they gave up, and a lot of Arkansas fans disagree with me. I thought they gave up on Bielema too early, and I'm afraid they're going to do the same thing with Pittman.
Do you think Chad Morris felt more pressure at SMU or Arkansas?
I don't think Chad Morris knew where he was at.
That I don't really care about.
And then they hired that John L. Smith who thought he was in Alabama.
They didn't necessarily hire him, did they? Didn't he just kind of...
He was an interim coach between Petrino and...
Yeah.
Well, I'm telling you what, and I don't have a very high opinion of Jeff Long for more reasons than we've got to go into today, but how can you sit across the room from John L. Smith and say, that's my guy, that's my guy, or Chad Morse, that's my guy? But I've heard that Jerry Jones had a lot to do with Chad Morris hired.
Chad Morris, I've always thought, must be an interviewer. I mean, that's what I thought. I mean, he must have blew their socks off sitting across from them. I mean.
Well, I think one of the things you got to realize, too, is, you doing something. I mean, I think he was a great Texas high school football coach. He did really well.
Yeah. Was Jerry Fouts.
Yeah. I know he went back and didn't do as well, but he did okay at SMU. But it's just like Tony said. I mean, the expectations were unrealistic. Now, I think what you do, and as a coach, you got to sell yourself and you got to sell your program. But what happens every year to me is, you know, it's not the fans that are telling us we're going to win 10 games. It's those guys up there.
Yeah.
And that's where it comes from. And or however many games, we're going to do this and we're going to be better and we're going to do this. Well, you know, and that's the thing about Pittman. First of all, the only reason Pittman is the football coach is because we couldn't find anybody else to hire. I don't that we wanted. I think we had four or five people turn it down. And then, but secondly, I think when you look at last year and what the problems were, with the Razorbacks, or a lot of them, they were directly related to what Sam Pittman has done his entire coaching career. Our offensive line stunk.
Yeah.
And it stunk every game. And if you can't fix that, and if you've done that for 30 years and you're changing the offensive line game to game all the time, then you got issues.
And that's your mantle. You are an offensive line guru.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And sitting
on a bench in your playing days drinking a cold beer.
Yeah.
Have you seen that picture?
Yeah. Yeah. I think Sam Pittman's a good guy. I'm not sure. I think that when he went there and what happened when he first went there was he had Barry Odom as his – defensive coordinator who had been a head coach and also as his consultant making head coaching decisions. When he lost Barry Odom left, I think that hurt him tremendously.
Yeah.
Because I don't think he'd had any experiences being a head coach. And when you go from, you know, again, talking about that program, it's just tough. But anyway, we could sit here and talk about this all day long.
Oh yeah,
we
will one day.
Yeah, well, I will eventually talk about it some more, I'm sure. But one last thing about the Razorbacks, baseball team still ranked number one. Went through won their first away series in the SEC against Auburn. Lost the last one, but won the first two. So
Coach Van Horn had some grandbabies.
Yeah, triplets. Yeah, so. Yeah, yeah. I'm glad it was not me. So, anyway, if y'all don't have anything else, I think it's probably time for us to shut down the episode 33.
Absolutely, man. I've enjoyed it, guys.
Yeah, me too.
It's good having you back with us, Pink Tuck.
33, Larry Bird's number.
Yeah, there you
You're
go.
Welcome, Katie.
Man, I was going to go the whole episode and not me.
Yeah, but we appreciate everybody. We especially appreciate our sponsors. The Walker Family Clinic and all their enterprises. We appreciate DeQueen Animal Hospital and Ashdown Veterinary Clinic. And then all the sponsors that sponsor the Players of the Week. We appreciate all them. We appreciate the listeners, and we hope you'll continue to listen. And we appreciate the kids who give us something to talk about every week. And we love doing this, and just keep on playing, kids. And we'll be back next week with episode 34. See you next week.
See you next week.
See you next week.